Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Welcome to this Sunday morning. You're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy. And as you heard Josh say at the beginning of the show, this show is truly dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow, which, let's face it, that's just about everybody, right? We're all working. We have financial obligations. We're trying to get ahead, do something better for maybe ourselves or our kids than we had growing up. So we're all part of the workforce, whether we like it or not. One way or another, we're attached to the workforce. So the show is dedicated to you. Now, each week, I have some of Jacksonville's most influential people on as my guests. And they're nice enough to share with us their personal career journeys. They talk about the mentors they've had along the way that have helped them to get to where they are in their professional careers. We also talk about the times that we've stumbled. Maybe we've taken a left when we should have taken a right, or we skinned our knees. And we're not afraid to share with you some bad things that have happened to us in our careers. And let's remember, look, bad things happen to good people. I've had some career highs, but Lord knows I've had some career lows. That's just part of it. And you know what? For all you folks out there, happy Easter to you. I forgot to say that. Let's get that right out of the way. But listen, the reason why we share some of the low points is that we can tell you maybe what we should have done, or here's what happened when we did X. And we tell you this so that you don't do X, or, you know, you do something better so that you don't get that same negative result we had. So that's why we spend our Sunday mornings with you, to help you to be more effective, more productive in your professional lives. And guess what? When things go well at work, they tend to go a little better at home. Or the things that would normally bug you at home don't bug you quite as much because you had a great day at work. That's what this show is about. And let's face it, I don't know any trust fund babies that just sit on a big pile of $100 bills and just peel them off, throw them in the air, or burn them up. I don't know those people. You don't know those people. They're not us. We're out there working every day. And, you know, some of the advice I give you will help you to land that job, the job that you need so desperately. Or perhaps you're just looking for that next step in your professional career. Some of the stuff we talk about here will help you. All right. Today, like I do every Sunday morning, I open up with a little monologue, okay? And this story, you know, it's not so much a story. This one is going to tell you what you need to do, just like what I would do if I found myself out of work. So if you're unemployed right now, listen up. Maybe, perhaps, you know, you might be unemployed. A lot of us don't know. It can happen all of a sudden. Things happen. You know what? Companies merge. They get acquired. They move and relocate. And maybe you don't want to, or you can't relocate. And you can't be part of that equation. And you're out of work. Okay. So I want to talk to you about some of the steps that you should do when you're out of work. But first of all, if you think that perhaps there's a chance in the next few weeks, few months, what have you, that you're going to get downsized, right-sized, your position's going to be eliminated, or something's going to happen to your job and you're going to be out of work, don't wait till it happens to start planning. I recommend to everybody, even if you're in a secure job, to maintain a current resume, right? To always have a good network beyond the folks that you work with. There's so many different networking groups that you should be juiced into. This is while you're employed. You know, you should always treat your employment like it could go away. Now, don't worry about it and stress about it and lose sleep, but always be prepared. Okay, but the first thing that I would do if I'm out of a job and I find myself out of work, the first thing I do is I realize that I have a job. When you're out of work, you have a job. And your job is to find a job, right? I mean, you got bills to pay, financial obligations. Beyond that, you just need money, doggone it. So you have to find a job. Even if you're out of work now and you're getting paid for the next 3 weeks on some kind of a severance, You treat every day like you don't have a job and you have to find a job. So let's say from 8 to 5, maybe some of you little slackers, it's a 9 to 5 for you. But let's say it's 8 to 5 or 9 to 5, whichever way. During that period of time, you have got to spend every moment looking for a job. Take a break a couple times during the day. But I'm telling you, don't make a date with your couch. Don't couch ride and start becoming the soap opera king. And don't all of a sudden say, you know, I'm going to go to the gym for 4 hours, or I'm going to, you know, get my toes done every morning. Don't do anything that's not going to help you to secure employment. So treat it number one. First thing I do, okay, is act like I have a full-time job when I don't have a job, and my job is to find a job, okay? The next thing I do is I work on building my personal brand. So what does that mean? Well, you know, I look at my social media. I look at my LinkedIn profile, and I want to make sure it's the best that it could possibly be. And I want to join networking groups. 100% of my efforts can't be done online. Now, the internet is your friend when you're looking for a job, doggone it. It is your friend because there's so much information. I mean, you can really, really refine your search to, you know, what company or companies do I want to work for? Who are the people that would be my manager if I worked there? You know, you can make a really specific target list to get into companies just based on a little bit of internet research. I mean, gone are the days where you print up a bunch of resumes and you pound the pavement and you knock and try to get in front of a corporate human resource person. You know, it kind of morphed into, let me send out as many resumes as I can all over the place. Well, that buckshot approach is not good, just like knuckle knocking and dropping off resumes is not good. Instead of the buckshot, you need to take a rifle shot. But make sure your personal brand is looking good, okay? And make sure that you're networking as well, okay? All right, next thing I want you to do is, while you're not working, consider getting a temp job. When you don't have a job, you need a job. You need money coming in. And even if it's something that you think is beneath you, typically you pick up new skills. Right? You go out. If I was making $60,000, but I find a job that's going to pay me $17 an hour to do. Maybe I was an assistant controller, but this is for just to do some accounting work on a temporary basis for a controller that's dealing with a difficult month end. Well, you get out there, you have an opportunity to showcase your skills. Or let's say there's an accounting software that you haven't used. You pick it up real quick, master that one too, and you add that to your resume. And this is something, again, don't think a lot of times when you're out of work, like, I have to get the job and I was making this. I'm only taking a job if it pays 5% higher. No, you take a job to help yourself pay the bills and pad your resume. It also shows to prospective employers that you weren't sitting idle. You were doing something. And that's important. Okay. Next thing I was going to say is, you know, perfect your resume. While you're not working, look at that resume and don't make it one size fits all, as I was saying just minutes ago. Make sure each resume you send out is tailored and really draws upon the specific experience as it relates to that job. That's the way to do it. Rifle shot is much better than the buckshot. You don't want to just throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and hope something sticks, because that nothing's going to stick. I'm going to tell you a couple things, then I'm going to get off this topic. Okay, let your network and let your friends know you're looking. Don't have so much pride that you don't want anybody to know that all of a sudden you don't have a job. You want to make sure you tell people, hey, I just want to let you know I need a job. And if you have anybody that you could introduce me to, I would greatly appreciate it. You know, that's the stuff that you got to do. You got to get everybody in your network fired up and ready. And I mentioned it all over. I mentioned it before, but your LinkedIn profile, man, I just seen so many people. LinkedIn is quickly becoming the way that not only recruiters, but hiring managers, that's where they go first to go find people. They don't go to the job boards. They go to LinkedIn. So make sure your LinkedIn profile best represents you. Have a professional headshot taken. Gosh, they're like $35 maybe. Get it taken because, I mean, standing in front of the mirror or you sitting in your car thinking you look slick, That's not the best you for prospective employers. So make sure your LinkedIn profile is up to date. Now, these are all the things that I would do if I'm out of work, and I hope that if you're out of work, you do them. But if there's another thing you can do, too, is call me Pete the Job Guy, because I am a professional recruiter, and I'm happy to help you. I do everything I can to make placements, good quality placements. I find people, I help them understand and craft a message of what their value add is to prospective employers, and then from there, we go to market and we call these prospective employers that make sense for you given what your value add proposition is. So you can always call me. You can reach out to me via email, pete@petethejobguy.com, or call me at 904-713-2550. Okay, we got a great show for you today. Joining me in the studio, as always, is the world-famous Josh McCartney!
Hey, Pete the Job Guy. Happy Easter to you.
Thank you. Happy Easter to you. Now, Josh, you know, one thing today is, as you've alerted me, that the Pete the Job Guy mailbox is not getting the attention that it richly deserves. And I apologize to you folks that send me email. I know your questions are important, and I get to them every bit as fast and quickly as I can, but sometimes I'm a little bit behind, and Josh has told me that, and he's selecting, we call it the mailbag segment, but Josh, tell everybody what we're going to do here.
Of course, like you said, your mailbox is overflowing, and the pony is feeling like his job is, he doesn't know what to do with itself anymore. It just keeps on bringing your mail.
Right.
All right, so into our mailbag we go, and our first question is from Amy in Jacksonville, and she states, "Hi, Pete. I've been a server for over 3 years at a popular restaurant. I graduated college in 2018 and continued waiting tables while looking for a good job in my field. The problem is that I make more money than I would coming into an entry-level position at a company. I don't wish to be a server forever, but I need to pay the bills. What do I do?"
Oh, Amy, this is really, really good. Okay, this is a good question. Because you know what? You know, number one, waiting, being a server and bartenders and in that industry, you make good money. You really do make good money. And, you know, depending on where you're at, you can make really good money. Also, restaurants, they're getting better benefits and they're doing more to retain good quality employees. So for some people, it's a career track that you want to get into, or, you realize, wait a second, I actually like this, you know. But if the long-term goal is to get out, Josh, we say this a lot on the show, that whole rock climbing thing that Lori right. Day brought up. And your career can be kind of like climbing a rock wall. And, you know, as you're climbing that rock wall to get to the top, you reach your hands on a rock and you reach your hand on another one. You put your foot in a crevice and you go up. And you're trying, the idea is to go straight up to the top. But guess what? The rocks and the crevices don't always align the way you want. Sometimes you have to go back down and over to go back up a little bit and then maybe down again. And that's kind of like your career is, right? You think about it. You know, this person, Amy in Jacksonville, you said.
Correct.
Amy wants to do something where she can ascend, where she can climb up, and doesn't want to always be the server, or perhaps is not interested in being the manager at the restaurant. She wants out of the business. It is hard. And this is one, Amy, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to take that step back to take a step forward. Entry-level salaries may be less than what you're getting paid, and that's what you're finding, and I'm not surprised. I don't know what your field is. I could help you on the forefront, you know, of what your major is going to be and what your direction and your path is going to be. But I understand that, let's say your starting salary and what you're doing is somewhere in the low 40s and you're already bringing home 50 something as a server. It's going to be tough. So I just need you to do this is number one, prepare for it. Okay, meaning financially, don't overspend right now. Make sure you keep your the money going out lower than the money coming in, and prepare for it so you're not in a ketchup sandwich situation and ramen noodles for 6 months. Okay, and at the time that you are getting your job, ask about how, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking a prospective employer, you know, if I do a great job, do you have incentive bonuses, or is there, an annual raise that I have an opportunity to earn? not so much what can you give me, what can I earn? Because I'm replacing a rather substantial income as a server. There's nothing wrong with disclosing that. And, you know, try to map it out. How long must I be below where I was before I can move back up? Amy, I'm just going to tell you, this is never an easy one. Knowing what I know and being around as many servers and bartenders as I have, you do have to take the step back typically to take the step forward.
Yeah, I went through this exact same thing because I was in the restaurant business as a server in pretty much every other position there was for 10 years from my freshman year of high school up until graduating college. And I got approached a few times if I wanted to move into management. And I knew I didn't want to be in the restaurant business forever. And it would also be a pay cut from being a server, walking out with cash in your pocket. I will say, I still miss the cash in your pocket every day. It's a great feeling to walk out and kind of just feel your day's hard work in your pocket.
If I said to you, I have a deuce and a four top and I was triple sat, what does that mean?
That means that means you got three, a two top, a four top, and you just got sat all at once.
Yes!
Three times.
If I 86 the lettuce,
But we have no more lettuce tonight. Yeah. You have to have either spring mix or spinach or something else.
I got campers on my six top.
They just won't leave. You already gave them their check. They haven't even put their credit card bill on top of the receipt. So they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
You see this? Waiters and waitresses of the world, Josh and I, right there with you. And we did like you did. You have to take the step back to take the step forward. Perfect.
Right. Yep. And I still miss the cash, I'll tell you.
Yeah, because it was great. You know, you have a great night. Depending on where you work, that could be $75 or it could be $300. I don't know. Depending on, but that cash was really nice.
And luckily, while you're at a restaurant, they can kind of work around your schedule pretty well. And yep. I was able to get a part-time job at a radio station in Orlando while being a server to support my income. And so I was able to do that for a couple of years until I finally got brought on full time at the radio station. And so, like you said, you do have to put your decisions where you want to be and just pursue that goal.
You know, wrapped within what you just said is another nugget of advice that I didn't even say to Amy. And that is, this job may afford you, you know, that waiter and waitress position that you have, Amy, may afford you the opportunity to begin looking or start working part time and augment to help you prepare for that. And then, you know, and then maybe by the time you're ready to go full time, you might qualify for a higher paying job. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yep, it all looks good.
What's that? What else is in that mailbag?
Of course. Question number two comes to us from Bill, and Bill is in St. Augustine. And Bill says, Pete, I listen to your show every week. Coach Larry is inspiring. Boston Danning gave my son a birthday shout out for me. I'm going to Boston next weekend, so you're going to have to do it with Scott. Scott's going to be doing your show, maybe I'll say hi to Danny for it.
All right.
Boston Danning gave my son a birthday shout out for me. I need a better job. I've been in the same job with no opportunity for advancement for 10 years. What do I do?
Woo! All right, Bill. Okay. All right. This is tough because it's so generic. You know, like my first thing is, Bill, I would ask him all kinds of questions. What kind of company what company you work for? You know, what do you do? What do you qualify to do? What do you want to do? You know, what really helps people is clarity in what they want to do. And I help people through a series of questions, you know, help them to become more clear as to what it is they want. And then, are you qualified for it right now? If you're not, what can you do to get qualified? So, you know, you look at what your actual job is compared to what the desired job is, and then you fill in the gaps to get there. Bill, way too generic for me to tell you exactly what to do, but I tell anybody, if you're going to work at a company for a while, do your due diligence up front. If you want to move up within the organization, you know what? Make yourself more marketable and promotable so that if you're missing out on opportunity, shine the mirror on yourself and get introspective. What could you have done to put yourself in a position that you're not overlooked for that promotion or that next step in your professional career? Always be a student of the game and learn, but know what it is and where you want to go. If you want a company where you're going to grow with them and maybe one day be a manager or a supervisor, vice president, or beyond, make sure you're going to work for a company that offers that type of upward mobility up front. It can save you the headache Bill might be experiencing right now. Bill, if you ever want to call me offline so we can, or, you know, just have this discussion between you and me and tell me more about your specific situations so that I can help you more, just dial me, call me, or email me with more information, and then we can get some a healthier discussion going with some very specific recommendations to help you. Guys, I want to take a minute right here to tell you about a great company that was founded right here in Jacksonville. That company is Houlihan Territory. And Houlihan Territory services greater Jacksonville, Florida with irrigation system installation and repairs, maintenance programs, high efficiency landscape lighting and installations, pump and well installations, as well as drainage solutions, repair services, and they even do Christmas lights in the off season. Now, I'm telling you about Houlihan Territory because I, Pete the Job Guy, have used them for years. They do all my irrigation. They fixed what my previous irrigation installer could not fix. And when I bought my new house, they came out and fixed everything. So Scott Houlihan is the founder owner. He's done a fantastic job. If you have any of those needs, you reach out to Houlihan Territory at 904-285-8505 and you'll get a free consultation. You just tell them Pete the Job Guy sent you. Guys, we're now up. I hear the music. What does that tell us? Tells us we're getting down to the bottom of the hour and we need to take a break. You're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back, all you hard workers. For those of you that are just joining, you're listening to me, Pete the Job Guy, on Hard Worker. And today, Josh is with me, and we're trying to get ahead of the mailbag, which is our email. We call it our mailbag, affectionately. But we get a lot of email, people asking work-related questions, and I do my best to answer them as swiftly as I can, but sometimes they get backed up. And Josh picked at least a handful of questions here that we're knocking out because they probably relate to a lot of you. So Josh, with no further ado, what do we got next?
We're moving on. Question number three, Pete, comes to us from, anonymous. This one might be interesting. He says, Pete, my company, they actually gives his company name, but we're going to leave that part off the broadcast. My company was just acquired, and I'm nervous that I'm going to lose my job. Should I start looking around or should I wait?
Interesting. Anonymous. From Anonymous. This is like, I think it was the Clash in the 80s. Ha! Should I stay or should I go? Now listen, this is hard because again, Anonymous, just like Bill before you, when I don't have all the facts, I can't give you all the answer. I can just kind of speak in broad generalities and invite you to call me. You know, I would tell you, Anonymous, call me, Pete the Job Guy. My number is 904-713-2550. I'm a professional recruiter. I am a career expert, and I am confidential, 100%. Just tell me what's going on. Tell me where it hurts, and I'll give you my professional advice that costs you nothing, and I'll do my best to help you. So your company was just acquired. You don't know whether to stay or whether to go. When there's an acquisition or a merger, there are certain things that companies look for, and they're called synergies. Either job overlap. There are positions to eliminate because we don't need duplicate here and there. So first thing I say is, look, are you in that type of a profession? Are you in a support role in one of these companies where there's a similar role at the other company, right? One of you is probably going to go. That's typically the way it is. But, you know, you got to be careful. And everything's not always tenure-based. It's typically performance. And then they consider aptitude and all this other stuff. Without knowing all the specifics, I would say do your best to learn it, but also be prepared. And I tell this, even if you have a great job, that you think you're in no danger of losing it, right? Just like Anonymous here. He thought he was in no danger of losing his job. But I tell people, always keep your resume updated. If you have new skills, like a lot of people, let's say he's been working there 10 years. Well, he probably hasn't updated his resume in 10 years. Get it current, because you never know what's going to happen. Yeah, you know, join networking groups. If you're an accountant, go, you know, look, there's the IMA, AICPA, ASWA. Well, that's changed the name of it. There's LEGS. There's so many different groups that you can attend with similar people to begin forging relationships that may help you secure another job. So, you know, without knowing the particulars, uncertainty, Mr. Anonymous, I know that's difficult. Miss Anonymous, we don't know. That uncertainty can eat at you, but preparedness can really, really help you out. So make sure you're prepared as much as you can be for the whatever that next step is. And it's going to involve dusting off your resume, making sure your LinkedIn profile is up to date, looks good, professional image on there, and your network too. Build on your network. So what else? What?
Hope that was useful for you, Anonymous.
It is.
All right, moving on to our last question.
Oh, don't go to the question. Let's do Jack's Facts. We haven't done this in a while. This is where we tell you all kinds of great information about Jacksonville that you may or may have not have ever heard about. Who knows? You know, without any further ado, let's go, Josh, to Jack's Facts.
Here we go. Dusting off the classic. Fact number one. Jacksonville is the largest city in the continental United States with over 840 square miles.
Knew it. Knew it.
Pop quiz in the middle of this, Jack's Facts. What state has the top five current cities, the largest cities by square area?
What is that again?
Sorry. Jacksonville is the sixth largest city in all of the U.S.
Oh.
Yes, so you're number one in continental.
Oh, so you're bringing in Alaska?
Alaska. The way I asked, they made it kind of obvious. But yeah, Alaska actually has the top four cities by square miles.
I never knew that.
Yeah, with Sitka, Juneau, Wrangley, and Anchorage, all larger than Jacksonville.
For as many years as I've said, Jacksonville is the biggest city area-wise. And I tell people, if you come to Jacksonville, everything's 35 minutes away. And, you know, you could drive for like an hour and 40 minutes in linear, straight line. You're still in Jacksonville. It's that big,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
But I didn't know it was the fifth large, because I always say the continental United States. And I figured, well, maybe there's... But where else would it be but Alaska?
Alaska,
so huge.
Yeah, they have them all.
Good. That's
with all
a good
kinds
fact.
Of weird population densities, one person per 1,000 square miles and what like that. All right. Jack's number two, Jack's Facts. Jacksonville, as you know, was actually named after, or as most people know, was named after General Andrew Jackson. He was the first military governor of Florida. But what people don't know, he never actually came to Jacksonville. He
Get
never
out.
Visited the city.
Get out.
I know. He never came home.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I know. I was surprised, too. All right. As we know, Jacksonville is a big, big military town, but the military actually employs over 30,000 active duty personnel and nearly 20,000 civilians in the Jacksonville area.
Incredible. And you know, Josh, you know it. I'm a
You're
veteran.
You're one of them. You're one of them.
I'm a Navy veteran, and I'm proud to do what I can to help veterans transition into the private sector. So, that's what I do. I find people jobs, so I do what I can. I do a lot for the military, and the military's been good to me. But that's great. I had no idea it was 50,000 people that are directly or, I bet we can get some revenue numbers on that. How much the do that? We'll do that for our next.
Exactly.
What else you got?
All right. This one might surprise people. They might think of Florida as a place to retire. But as of 2018, the median age in Northeast Florida is just 36 years old.
Wow.
Younger than all major cities in Florida.
I bet that's different down like West Palm Beach.
And Naples, down in those corners.
You know, I mean, probably double what that is. Even down if you go down to like Ormond Beach and in around there and Palm Coast or whatever, it's higher. But Jacksonville, you guys are young
pups. We're up and coming. Yeah, we're up and coming.
I'm 54 years young myself, but to know that the mean age is 36, wow, that's cool. You want to give one more or you done?
I'll hit you with one more.
All right, let's hear it.
The St. John's River is one of just a few rivers in North America that flows north instead of south.
Didn't know it.
How about that one?
I did not
know that.
How about
that one? Mississippi? Yeah. Does not flow north, but St. John's goes north, but not south.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
How about that?
Good.
And if you want to get some more of these to learn some more Jacksonville facts, head on over to visitjacksonville.com.
Excellent. Well done.
Thank you very much.
And I like that music, too. That was really
one of the best.
All right. Give me another question. I think we got time for one more.
All right. Our final question. All right, here we go. Let me go back to my mailbag here, put down my Jack's Facts bag and pick up my mailbag. Pete, you always ask your guest, what advice would you give your younger self? I think it's time that we hear how you would answer that question. And this one is actually submitted by another Pete, but not a job guy.
All right, Pete. Pete. All right. Now, I've said this before, so it was probably about 6 or 7 episodes ago. I did answer this question because somebody flipped it on me. But, you know, for me, what advice would I give my younger self is, always work your hardest, which, you know, has been kind of my mantra. Work hard. You know, the biggest compliment you could give anybody that comes from Tewksbury, Massachusetts, where I grew up, it isn't, oh, he's the best looking or he's the richest or he's the smartest person. It's that, PETA. He's a hard worker. So the best advice that I would give to me is work your hardest, but always work to better yourself. Always be a student of the game. And just when you think you know everything, someone's going to rock you with something that's going to happen and you're going to have a learning lesson. And that's okay. Okay, because we learn from that. And guess what? You will fail, dude. You'll fail. You'll have some low points in your life, but it's okay. You know, and it truly is we've heard this since we were kids. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's true. And it really is true. You grow from these horrible experiences and you do what you can to prevent them from ever happening again. So I would tell young Pete, you know what? Work hard. Be prepared to fail because you will, but just keep forging forward. Try to be better every day and prepare yourself for any next step. And if you're in a career at different points where I was like, oh, this is not for me, even if it's not for you at that point, you owe it to yourself and to your employer to do everything that you possibly can to do your best because you could turn that into something better just by doing your best. You get recognized at an employer. You thought you had one foot out the door, but you continue to strive to do your absolute best. And if you do that, you know, you might just turn a frown upside down. But that's the type of advice that I would give my 21-year-old self. And now, at this point, Josh, I think it's time that, you know, each week we get our leadership lesson from Coach Larry. Coach Larry gives us advice to help managers become more effective leaders. With no further ado, let's get our leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
As many of you know, I'm a coach and I teach coaching. I work with a lot of leaders who want to develop their coaching skills and I coach them on their coaching. Yes, I said coach and coaching a lot. But today I'm going to give you 3 of the top mistakes I see leaders make when they try to coach. But first, a quick reminder of what do I mean by coaching? Well, I like Sir John Whitmore's Yes, Sir John Whitmore's definition. He said, coaching has 2 main objectives, to help the person become aware of the truth of the situation and how to move forward, and to help the person take responsibility for implementing their plan, and to do that by asking questions. I added that last part. So here we go. Mistake number 1, that's not tracking. Not tracking. On one occasion, an associate was being coached on their failing department. They were not making their numbers. The associate knew it. He was a pretty senior person. The employees knew it. And he was concerned for his job and for his family. He didn't know what to do. So what did the coach ask? Well, the coach looked down at his list of coaching questions and asked, "What makes your heart sing?" Can a heart even sing, I wondered. The problem was that the coach was more worried about what question to ask than being fully present and listening. So how do you track? First of all, you need to be fully present and listening. Second, think of it like double-clicking on Wikipedia. Tracking is like double-clicking. For example, if you're in Wikipedia and you do a search on mammals, then you double-click on felines, then you double-click on kittens. See what I mean by tracking? Okay, maybe that was a bad example. But as coaches, we need to double down when we hear someone make a standout comment. Perhaps they used a word that was a stronger meaning or had strong emotion tied to it. Then that is something worth tracking and asking further about. For example, if someone said, "The division is failing and I'm worried about my family," you might ask, "Where should we focus, the failing division or the family?" And if the associate says, "Well, let's focus on family," then you can ask, "Well, all right, what's your biggest concern with your family?" And so on. So tracking is following along with what the person is saying and asking them about those particular topics, and not something completely different like their singing heart. Mistake number two, not going deeper. Remember Whitmore's definition? Coaching is about helping that person find out the truth, take responsibility, and move forward. And that's some pretty deep stuff. One thing I notice with new coaches, that it's like watching a tennis match. The coach serves up a question. The associate answers back. The coach asks another question. Associate answers back, and so forth. In order to go deeper, it is important for the associate to think hard about the question, to come up with things that he or she would not have come up with on their own. So instead of playing tennis, ask the associate, well, what else? Then you could ask them, and what else? Have them come up with additional options until they've exhausted their brain and you hear some healthy silence in the conversation. So go deeper, ask them what else to come up with additional options for the situation. Mistake number three, the most common mistake I hear coaches do is that they give advice. This is often the most challenging for coaches. After all, you're all good at solving problems, so why not give them advice? Well, when you do that, you're teaching them to keep coming to you for the answers. So why not help them figure it out for themselves by asking them questions? Who knows? They may come up with a better solution than you would have thought of. Now, does that mean you should never give advice? No, but let them try to figure it out first. So what are your coaching challenges? Reach out to me if you need any resources on coaching or if you want a complimentary coaching session. You can find me at my website, MendozaAndOBrien.com. Back to you.
Oh, Coach Larry, another gem. Every week he gives us tips to help us to be more effective leaders, more productive leaders, to help us to better communicate and be prepared for our staff and to just make it happen. Larry, I got three words for you. Coach, coaching, coaches, coach, coach, coach. I see, I can say it a whole bunch too. How do you like that? Guys, go to Mendoza and O'Brien, look up Coach Larry, and he can deliver a leadership program for you, customize it, and you can deliver it in both English and Spanish. His name is Larry O'Brien, and he is the Chief Learning Officer for Mendoza and O'Brien. Thank you so much, Coach Larry. Guys, as you may or may not know, my name is Pete Langlois. I know you know me as Pete the Job Guy, but I am a staffing executive, and I've run staffing companies for about 20 years. And you know what? I've been doing it right here in Jacksonville. I work for SNI Companies, which is a proud member of the GEE Group, publicly traded staffing firm that's top 100 for size overall revenue in the United States. We are a national company. Here in Jacksonville, I have a great staff of people behind me. These are the best recruiters in Jacksonville, bar none. They are great staffing managers, recruiters, executive recruiters, and I'm just pleased as punch to be surrounded by this level of talent. If you are a manager, a hiring manager in Jacksonville, and you are looking for your next employee, either on a permanent basis or on a temporary temp-to-perm basis, call us at SNI Companies. You can even ask for me, Pete the Job Guy. You just dial 904-713-2550. That's our number, 904-713-2550. A lot of you hear my voice, and then I get calls on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, and folks ask me for talent. And, you know, it's my reputation on the line each and every time. I make sure that I take care of my customers to the best of my ability. Folks, we have all kinds of divisions over there. We are specialty providers. And what I mean by that is I have a division of technology professionals, and all they do all day long is place technology professionals either on a direct hire basis or on a contract basis. That division, SNI Technology, is led by Ben Cussin, who's been in this game every bit as long as I have. And Ben can talk techie with the best of them. So if you need technology resources for a defined or undefined period of time, or you just want to hire that perfectly suited, qualified candidate, you reach out to Ben and his team at SNI Technology. The number's the same, 904-713-2550. If you are an accountant, perhaps you're looking for that next step in your career, and you need a little bit of help because you're busy at work. You know, sometimes a search is really full-time. If you're looking for a job, why not call a recruiter that only does accounting and finance? You have Virginie, we have Ryan, we have Missy, Carrie. All they do is place accounting and finance professionals on a direct hire basis. Whether you're a candidate that needs a little help or would like some assistance, because let's face it, recruiters have relationships all over town and clients pay us. You know, the clients engage us to find you great candidates. And most of the candidates that I represent, they're almost all working right now. They have jobs. They don't have time to look for other jobs, or they might be just passive seekers and not really looking unless something great comes along. And that's what we do. So if you're a controller, let's say, and you're looking for an accounting manager, a financial analyst, staff accountant, you call SNI Financial. The number again is 904-713-2550. And the team there will be able to find you what you want. We find people and skill sets that other people in town can't find. Try us. We'll let you know. We'll show you. We also have a division. We have two that do temporary staffing and temp to perm staffing. One specializes in accounting. And let's say you have a complicated month end, year end, and you just need, you know, if you're an accounting manager, assistant controller, and you can't clone yourself, right? But you need another set of hands to come help you out. And you just don't, you don't need a full-time resource because you just need help, right? You call accounting now, and they'll send a qualified resource over there to help you. The number there, again, is 904-713-2550. And we also have our Staffing Now division here in town. And Staffing Now places clerical, administrative, marketing, HR types. And if you need data entry, customer service, if you need people, either temporary, temp to perm basis, our team, we got some great, we have Kumi, we have Elizabeth, we have Rachel, we have Emily, we have Chelsea. We have so many people here that have been doing it for a while that are qualified to help you find the resources. Whether you're a candidate, you want a little help finding the next job, temporary or permanent, or whether you're a hiring manager and you're looking for resources, call SNI Companies, 904-713-2550. You want the white glove treatment, doggone it, you just call and ask for Pete the Job Guy. You can work with me directly, and I'm happy to help you on either side of the equation, like I do every week. Been doing this for many, many years. All right, Josh, you dug in the mailbag, asked me a bunch of questions. What else we got? I know you're flagging me down, waving at me.
I got one right here for you, and it's right on top of the mailbag because it's from, it's a question for Pete the Job Guy, and it's from Josh the producer. It's a question that I thought up while you were giving out one of your earlier answers.
Yeah.
You said that you always want to keep your resume updated, whether or not you've had the same job for 10 years and whether or not you're actually even hunting for a job. But I was curious, as a leader, how you would feel if you found out one of your employees was always kind of looking for another job, but constantly interviewing, or you saw LinkedIn always open on their computer. Or how would you feel as a leader? Would you feel betrayed, or would you feel like this person's a go-getter, always trying to find something better, never trying to settle?
Well, you know what? That's an excellent question. If you're thinking it, you know that there's other people thinking it. So right. You're helping everybody else by asking that. So if I'm a leader, first thing, don't update your resume while you're at work. I'm paying you to do a doggone job. You want to update your resume, do it on your time, not mine, because we have a common mission and your success is my success. You do that when you're at home. You work on that. And your LinkedIn, all that other stuff. Now, if you're interviewing, right, you're actively interviewing for another job, I'm going to help you find that other job. Okay, if you're actively interviewing, I will help you find your other job. I don't, you know, look, I'm telling you right now, folks, right, when I tell you to prepare yourself, always keep yourself prepared, don't do it on the leader's dime. Do it at home. You know, you got time, you get on the computer and you update your resume, make sure all your skills are relevant and current. You keep your LinkedIn current all the time. Why? Because that is your representation to the world. For me, my clients judge me by my performance, what I do. Like if someone's going to do business with Pete, we'll say, let's check out old Pete, the job guy. Let me go to LinkedIn and see what he's done. I want my skills and everything to accurately present to the world who I am, what I do, and what I've done. So I do keep it updated, and I encourage everybody that I work with to keep it updated. I'd also say, you know, like for me right now, I get calls. You know, I get calls from recruiters that are looking for a president and CEO of large companies, and which is great. And but, I, you know, for me, I say I'm happy, I'm secure. I'm also flattered that you've reached out to me at this point in my life. I'm not ready to consider other opportunities. I thank you nonetheless. Keep me. You never know what can happen in life. Companies, you know, they can change, they can unravel, dismantle. But I'm very flattered that you called me, and I appreciate that. And, you know, if you will periodically want to check in with me, that's absolutely fine. But I'm not entertaining any opportunities this time. That's how I engage recruiters that call me. I'm always flattered by it. I always appreciate that I'm on their radar screen. I'm not looking for employment, but I'm prepared. I am prepared. I keep information. That way, if I ever have to find myself in a job search, which incidentally I'm not going to, but if I ever find myself in a job search, I would be prepared. And I give that advice to everybody. It doesn't upset me that if my workers prepare themselves, I'd be a hypocrite if I. But if they're interviewing elsewhere now, if they're taking time, especially if they're missing work to interview elsewhere, we got some problems. That means they've already made up the decision to leave. And once people have made the decision that this job isn't for them, they're going to move on. Typically, they do something what we call is mentally check out. They've already moved on. They already see themselves and excitement about the next job. I'm not going to counteroffer someone. If you counteroffer someone, you know, 50% of those people that accept a counteroffer are gone within the first 6 months. And it's a full 90% of people that accept a counteroffer are gone within the first year. So am I going to offer somebody, hey, Josh, I'm going to give you all this extra money to hang around? No, because why? Because it's going right out the doggone window. Guys, this has been an exciting show. I feel connected to you when I answer your email and I answer your questions. If you ever have a question, you can reach out to me via email if you're more comfortable that way. Email address is simple, pete@petethejobguy.com. Go to my website, petethejobguy.com. There's some exciting stuff on there. We make announcements. I was happy to participate in JDRF's One Walk a couple weeks ago. It was real exciting. We had fun. I let you know where I'm going to be. My wife, Angie, who's also a business partner, she has Angie's Picks. And goodness, check out Angie's Picks. We've been working and living in Jacksonville for so many years. Angie's made it easy for you. Where to eat, where to get the best Bloody Mary, all that other fun stuff. But guys, I appreciate you spending your Sunday morning with me. I appreciate our producer, Josh McCarthy, stepping up and joining me this morning. You're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, on News 104.5 WOKV.